eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 24, a psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Well, it is good to be with you again, after a hiatus for a couple of weeks. Getting back into town, getting settled in for vacation, then a week or from vacation, and then a week later, my wife has just recently had a knee replacement surgery. So the past couple weeks have been kind of getting our bearings with recovery there, and she's doing very well. And I appreciate those who've been praying for us, but certainly missed being with you all. And of course, I recorded this podcast already and realized I messed up the audio as soon as I was done. So again, very glad to be able to join you. Psalm 24, of course, following after Psalm 23, is one of those that comes to us a very simple and short psalm, but it is in three parts, beginning first of all of a description of God and his dominion over all the earth in verses 1 and 2. Verses 3 through 6 describes those who would draw near to God, those who would be in his presence, as those who ultimately would be a generation of people who would seek him. And then verses 7 through 10 is this sort of two-part repetitive image of ultimately the king arriving and God himself coming. And seeing then in this moment his arrival and anticipating that as the Lord strong and mighty and the Lord of hosts, King of glory. But the specific setting is talked about in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I like Derek Kidner, what he talks about in the commentary, because he says this: traditionally, this is sung on Ascension Day and has inspired some of the great hymns for that occasion. So being Ascension Day, oftentimes for those who and kings coming into the point of their kingship. But Delitzsch, however, has pointed out, coming back to the quote again, Delitzsch, however, has pointed out that the theme is better seen as that of Advent, the victor's arrival to possess the citadel he has conquered, just as David and the Ark transformed the Jebusite stronghold into the hill and city of the Lord. The psalm cited in 1 Chronicles 16 is sung on that occasion. 96 and parts of 105 and 106 have God's final coming as their climax. So good to remind ourselves, in 1 Chronicles 16 is where, again, the main portion of this psalm is recited, along with those other psalms mentioned. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, we see Saul dies in battle along with his son, Jonathan, and then David assumes the throne in 1 Chronicles 11. And then in 1 Chronicles 11, they take then the city of Jerusalem, the Jebusite stronghold. And when that occurs, Joab kind of come to prominence, leading the men up into taking the city. And so at this point, then we move through several different descriptions, but by the time we get to 1 Chronicles 16, the ark has now entered into the city of Jerusalem. So let's read 1 Chronicles 16, verses 1 through 7. And they brought in the ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, He blessed the people in the name of the Lord and distributed to all Israel, both men and women, to each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, and second to him were Zechariah, Jael, Shemarimoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaniah, Obed, Edom, and Jael, who were to play harps and lyres. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and Benaniah and Jehaziel, the priests, were to blow trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day, David's first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. And so we see in the Ark arriving, certainly the image of God's presence as well arriving in Jerusalem, that the seraph that were above the Ark, that was an image in many ways of the image ultimately of Christ and ultimately of the presence that we see coming in Christ. It was a type, I should say, is the word I was searching for there. And so in this image of the Ark coming into Jerusalem, the focus is less on David and his kingship and more on God and his sovereignty and dominion. And so looking back at our text, it's good to see again that it is the Lord's earth, and it is his, the fullness thereof, that he is the one who founded it, that he is the one who established things. To deny that or to say otherwise is to prove a fundamental difference. And so in many ways, we are in today's day and age at a fundamental disagreement with someone who does not see God as being the source of life and creation. Verses 3 through 6 then describes the one in the question in verse 3, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place? And he mentions four things: the one who has clean hands, a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. Heaven forbid that we have leaders like that today. I mean, goodness, when you read this description, it's disheartening when you realize it. But then when we turn to our own hearts and look at our own hands and our own souls and what we have lifted up to, we need to be aware that we fall so dreadfully short of this call as well. But these are the ones who are ultimately to seek God and to be his people. And I think it's good to read from Spurgeon's Treasury of the Psalms again on Psalm the 24th when he's speaking of verse 3 and through 6, kind of describing the passage when he says this: here we have the true Israel described. The men who shall stand as courtiers in the palace of the living God are not distinguished by race, but by character. They are not Jews only, nor Gentiles only, nor any one branch of mankind peculiarly, but a people purified and made meet to dwell in the holy hill of the Lord. It's good to remember that this is not one identifying group, that this was not ethnicity that led those to seek the face of the God of Jacob, but instead it was their hands, their heart, their souls, their mouths, their tongue, and what they said and what they took oaths by. So it's good to remember in many ways that we look to God with the same heart and with the same people surrounding us, not necessarily divided by denominational lines, not necessarily divided by the normal ways that we would put these things together, but looking again at the heart that is changed and filled with the Holy Spirit and brought into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And it's good to remember again that verses 7 through 10, the final chorus, is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who is the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Christ is viewed in Revelation as the triumphant leader who comes on the horse, the white horse, and slays the forces of darkness. And so who is the King of glory, the Lord of hosts? He is the King of glory. It's good to remember that it is Christ who fulfilled that. And I like how Spurgeon, again, in his commentary, ties Christ into this. These last verses, he says, reveal to us the great representative man who answered to the full character laid down and therefore by his own right ascended the holy hill of Zion. Our Lord Jesus Christ could ascend into the hill of the Lord because his hands were clean and his heart was pure. And if we by faith in him are conformed to his image, we shall enter too. We have here a picture of our Lord's glorious ascent. We see him rising from amidst the little group upon Olivet, And as the clouds receive him, angels reverently escort him to the gates of heaven. It's good to remember that we who stand in Christ Jesus now, not by our own merit, not by the perfection of our own character, but by the perfect merit of Jesus Christ, stand now, and we can sing and praise in this psalm victoriously that we now stand firmly in Jesus Christ, able to be in the presence of the King of Glory. I pray this psalm was encouraging to you this week. I look forward to getting back into the swing of things. Again, I would like to just extend that if you are interested in being a part of this podcast, I'm looking for someone else either to share the show with, or if it's a guest who has a psalm that particularly has been meaningful to them, let's share and have a conversation together. And again, I pray this week you are blessed like a man who is firmly planted by streams of living water. Thank you for listening. Find us online under the Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks, his presence too. With joyful song.